You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the free version of the Michael Savage podcast, and I'm going to keep it free for all of you. But there are many of you who would love to be able to listen to my show without any ads. I love ads, but many of you want to listen to the podcast free of ads. So we created something for you, a solution. We call it the Savage Premium. For less than the price of one flat, tasteless beer at your local bar, you can receive access to all of my podcasts going back years ad-free for just $3.99. That's it, $3.99 a month. You'll get not only my ad-free podcast, but you will also occasionally receive access to material that is exclusive for members only, and I'm going to give you the list in a minute of what you've missed. You're going to get an occasional monologue from me, maybe a reading from one of my novels, sneak peeks of interviews before anyone else hears them, archive pieces dating back to 1994. Many things that come up, you're going to get exclusive access to Michael Savage material. Details can be seen on my website, michaelsavage.com, and if you want to join, all you got to do is go to glow.fm and search Savage Premium. That's glow.fm and search Savage Premium. Now, you will always have access to my free weekly podcast. I want to be clear about that. That's my promise to you. But if you want less ads and more Savage, join the Savage Premium Club today and never miss a spoken word of mine. It's glow.fm/Savage Premium. You can find it on michaelsavage.com. And here's some of the stuff that you have missed so far. Michael Savage reading from his best-selling novel, Countdown to Mecca. My words, my voice. Savage reads from one of his lost journals, Fiji, 1968. Savage's first drive time show, Hour One. My interview with the Jewish gangster, very popular. I read from my first written published article, Who Is at the Helm, from 1965. It's heard nowhere but on my premium site. I read passages from my novel, Abuse of Power. We replayed Fat Al's Tuna. My Savage show from 324.94, the earliest show in the archive, 324.94. My interview with Donald Trump from 110.2011. 110.2011, while Mark Levin was mocking him and Sean Hannity was mocking him and the others were mocking him, I was interviewing Trump. Much more. And remember, subscribers also get ad-free podcasts every week. The cost is less than a beer at a bar, and you get a better buzz with the Savage Premium. So go to glow.fm/Savage Premium for full access to ad-free podcasts and exclusive sound you'll not hear anywhere else. Thank you very much. Welcome to the Michael Savage Podcast. This is Black History Month, as you well know, and President Biden has already made news by stating that he is planning on nominating someone to the Supreme Court based solely on their race and gender. Not necessarily the best candidate. Now, how can you judge equality if not all nominees are judged equally? We all know this is Animal Farm. Well, joining us today is Dr. Marilyn Singleton, a board-certified anesthesiologist who also attended UC Berkeley Law School while still working in the operating room, MD, JD. She's amazing. Dr. Singleton has an article that she has published entitled It's Black History Month, Let's Get Real, where she talks about this nomination and other race-related issues from her perspective as an African-American doctor and lawyer who did it the right way, the hard way. She's great. We've had her on this show before. You should share this podcast with as many people as have a brain left in the country.
Dr. Singleton, are you ready for surgery?
Verbal surgery, I hope. How are you?
So nice to see you again.
Good to see you. I feel like this is same time next year.
God, it's been a year. It hasn't been. It can't be. It's been a year.
I don't. Maybe so, but I think Black History brings all this stuff out, doesn't it?
I saw your article. It's Black History Month. Let's get real. And of course, I know the name Marilyn M. Singleton, MDJD, because you've been on the Michael Savage podcast before, and it was extremely well received. And I was curious what you had to say, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But let me tell you from a so-called white person's point of view. I don't define myself as a white person, but I guess for the sake of this discussion, I'm a white person. So even though I'm of Jewish heritage, I don't define myself as a Jewish person. I consider myself a person. I never walk around saying I'm an American or I'm a Jew or I'm a this or that. It's like how I relate to things is my mind, how I think. Okay. So I watch a lot of television to relax. I love movies and such. Every cable channel has almost 98% African-Americans as the actors now. You say, well, what's wrong with that? People say, give them a chance. I said, that's not the point. How can every subject be wrapped around race? Ever since George Floyd was mercilessly choked to death by that psycho cop, which when I watched it, I don't want to dwell on it. It was a horrible thing. It was watching a slow motion homicide. The cop was a psychopath. The guy was begging for his mother. He couldn't breathe. I saw it and I was watching murder. I said so. Oh, the cop's been given a life sentence. It's over with. No, it only just began. And ever since that day, I believe, and I'm going to ask you what you think, the entire society has been turned upside down in bending over backwards to create a reality that isn't real. So every ad is unreal. Well, from beginning with, what's ads? I'm not looking to ads to give me reality. But you say things in your article that resonated with me. You said, as COVID fear was waning unnerved by the thought that we might regain our happy lives, the government media complex, I remember that line. I think you got that from me, 1998, beware the government media complex. And I am so honored that a person of your stature even heard it, blared that our society is systemically infected with racism and white people must repent. So it says the deafening drumbeat of race, racism, and more race is leaving its mark. New York City using race as a criterion allocating COVID-19 treatments. Biden is probably the worst cheerleader for this insanity, isn't he? It got even worse the other day. I think he hit a new low.
Oh, with the crack pipes?
Yeah, what are they, crazy?
I never heard of any such thing.
You're a doctor. Why would you give a diabetic sugary candy?
Well, you want to make it easier for him. Come on.
So their theory is if you give him a crack pipe, you're going to reduce crime?
Well, then they won't have to pass the dirty pipe back and forth between one another.
Okay.
That's one of the justifications. It's the dumbest thing I have ever heard.
You say Biden is undermining legitimacy of the Supreme Court by pledging to fill a vacancy, not the best person, but a black female. And you write, the issue is not that black female bright legal scholars do not exist, but that the only stated criteria were gender and skin color. Again, a violation of our civil rights, a violation of our constitutional rights, a violation of human decency and human dignity. And yet it goes without saying the media falls in line.
The thing that's the worst about it, it's demeaning to all the smart black women out there.
So I've heard.
I don't care how smart they are, what they do, everyone will think they're some dumb schmuck that just got picked because Biden wanted a black female.
Yes. Well, I remember Bush had Condoleezza Rice, who, whether I like her politics or not, to me is a first class human being. I don't particularly care for her leftward slant, but she's a very skilled person in so many areas. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And I don't think too many people got the feeling that she was picked because she was black.
I never felt that.
No, because she was so smart and had the background, had been around her area for years. She had something behind her name. And she was talented. She was a pianist. You know, she was sort of a Renaissance woman.
I remember.
So it would be kind of hard to argue that she was just scooped up from obscurity to fill this position.
Well, it's like going back to the ads. They're not selecting African-Americans based on their qualifications, even as actors. They're just saying, send me as many Black people as you can. We need them in our ads. Please, well, we don't want to be accused of racism while we're selling a Hershey bar. They're liable to boycott the M&Ms.
Well, I don't know. That's pretty racist because those are chocolate things.
And I'm sorry.
See, you have to have a Black person advertise chocolate.
Dr. Singleton, I was not thinking of color when I said chocolate. I'm sorry. I brought up a metaphor. I apologize. All of me, he, him, and her apologize.
All right.
You know, I ordered a bunch of books today for my granddaughter, classic in the English literature, like a set of 15 leather-bound classics, Shakespeare, Chaucer. I know it's beyond her right now, but and I wrote to the company saying, it says I get 15 of these 18 books. So I said, I need to eliminate some of them. I don't want her to get the horror books. And I got a letter back from the company immediately, a very polite letter, but it was signed her. It was she, her, something or other on the letterhead. I said, I didn't ask for all this information about the person's sexual orientation, but I swear, I've got to find this to you. Return Canterbury Classics, signed, I won't read the name. She, her, hers, customer success lead.
Oh, my goodness.
Why do I need to know what her orientation is or isn't?
But this has become standard. My son's wife is in HR. And she says at the beginning of these meetings, you have to say your name and then your pronouns.
I said eliminate number 3, classic tales of sci-fi, number 8, Grimm's fairy tales, and number 9, which was Leaves of Grass by Walt Whitman. And I said, please include Les Miserables, Jack London, and H.G. Wells. And so she says, thank you very much. Your order is received, and it's from she, her, hers, customer success lead. Again, it's standard. It's on the letterhead.
That's unbelievable. Well, that's like now when studies, I'd say over the last about 4 months that I've read coming out, this will make you somewhat ill.
No, please. I'm not sleeping well as it is. Yes.
That in a medical journal, they are describing pregnant women as birthing persons.
Nice.
There was a study about premature birth, and they said, we studied 365 birthing persons. And it makes you not even want to go farther with the study because you know there's an agenda.
We need to take a quick break. We'll be right back on this Michael Savage podcast.
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
We're back with Dr. Marilyn Singleton. Do you remember Brave New World? They were talking about viviparous reproduction as a separate, because it was considered disgusting in the Brave New World that Huxley wrote in the 30s. Viviparous reproduction was considered kind of yucky because it was not clean and done in a laboratory.
That's where we're going.
Oh, my God. Are we ever going? And look who's dragging us there. The people who least understand what they're doing.
That's right.
The most ignorant.
Well, there's speaking of all these pronouns, there's a very interesting theory about all that. And the pronouns, the racism, that they're all linked together, because after you've told white people that they're lower than a worm's belly, and you're telling that to children who don't know any better, then they tell them, you have to become marginalized in some way in order to be accepted. So being gender different makes you, it's okay because you're not a cis male. And these kids are gravitating toward that with, it's almost being implanted. And you know how kids are, they'll believe anything.
They're sponges. They're sponges.
Yeah. And that's what I find so destructive about this.
So they are converting children. Look, all children are asexual before a certain age. They don't know what their sexuality is. That's my opinion. And they can be easily molded one way or the other. Because you take a little boy 4 or 5 years old, he doesn't have an idea of what his sex is. So you tell him he could be a girl. Okay, I'm a girl. What is that thing hanging down between my legs? Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't define you. So every society on earth, and I've spent years in so-called primitive societies before they were, when they were still colonies, meaning they were still traditional societies, Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, the Marquesas, they know what a boy was and a girl was. They certainly did not discriminate, by the way, against trans people. I've been very careful to tell people that they don't understand this. You take Tonga, for example. I was there in 1969. They were considered, or in Hawaii, mahus, which was big men who were gay or women. They were not picked on. They were not beaten up. They were not marginalized. They understood in that society that's how they were. Mm-hmm. In fact, they had a special place in those societies. But they didn't put them on a pedestal and then draw the whole society in that direction.
Right. It is what it is. And people are who they are. And,
amen.
You know, it reminds me of the Oscar Wilde saying, just be yourself. Everybody else is already taken. And that's how we have to look at it. That's how people have to be. And all this focus, like you say, since when were you watching movies to where suddenly you noticed how many Black people were in the movies? Obviously, there's going to be some movie about racial strife or whatever. And then, of course, you're supposed to notice it's a Black person. But I had always given my hats off to George Lucas in the first Star Wars movie when Billy Dee Williams played, what was his name, Lando Calrissian, and he was a junk dealer on whatever planet it was. And it was one of the first times in a movie where you saw a Black guy, a handsome one at that, who was just a guy. He wasn't being racially discriminated against. He wasn't a lawyer for Power to the People. He wasn't anything. He was a junk dealer on a planet. And it was wonderful. And it kind of introduced this whole new world that Black people can just be people, that they don't have to be a symbol. And now it's back to how it was in the old days. And it makes me sad. It's more than disgusting. It's sad.
Well, your article is entitled, I want to go back to the article. It's Black History Month. Let's get real. And then you talk about California's year old first of its kind reparations task force has determined that reparations should be limited to descendants of slaves who were, quote, kidnapped from their homeland, unquote, Black immigrants excluded, because they have a country to which they can return if they're unhappy with the racist United States. And then you write, missing the irony, California's Black female slave descendant Secretary of State posited that Barack Obama had the gumption to run for president only because he was not a descendant of slaves. Thus, he was not, these many generations later, stunted by the psychological impact of slavery that left slaves with only enough energy to merely survive. You then write, moreover, Obama did not have limitations drilled into his psyche. And you ask, who is doing the drilling today? California elected officials, television shows with Black stars, teachers, homeboys in the hood, absentee parents. Wow, you write, so Black people can't aspire to greatness if they had a slave as an ancestor? Talk about the bigotry of low expectations.
I was stunned when I read that. And it was almost amusing to think this woman in a high elected office, so not only Black, but a Black female, and she's in this high elected office and says, oh no, but anyone who's a descendant of slaves can't aspire to greatness. And it's, this is what's hurting the kids. This is what, and not kids, just adults. How can you have any self-confidence if you have somebody who's an elected official telling you you're low, you're no good, you're inferior? And this is what's so appalling, to have Black people telling other Black people how inferior they are. We're not inferior.
You're right. Show me the excuse for the success of slave descendant entrepreneur and philanthropist, Madam C.J. Walker, considered the first female millionaire in the United States in 1910. And James Durham, who, this, I love this one, who went from slave to physician and treated patients of all colors in Louisiana in the 1700s. Then you tip it, top it off by saying, Mr. Anti-Racism himself, Henry Rogers, a.k.a. Ibram X. Kendi, may have bamboozled corporate America into spreading the toxic instruction to find racism in every action and thought, in every minute of one's waking hours. Disturbingly, the American Medical Association, as part of its health equity plan, aims to, quote, excise the myth of meritocracy. Now, I've got to pause right there. This is what worries me the most. At first, it was comedic and absurd. But if I'm going into surgery, I want meritocracy in the surgeon. I don't want someone put there for the color of her or his skin. Same with an airline pilot. How the hell are they going to fly an airplane if you eliminate meritocracy? Tell me how it's, how can we get guys to fly? How is anyone going to fly a plane onto an aircraft carrier and fight the Chinese if they were given their wings simply because of their sexual orientation or their color or something else, rather than their ability to land and take off on an aircraft carrier in training numerous enough times that you know they're not going to crash the plane and blow the ship up? How is this going to happen?
Well, the sad thing is, and hopefully they won't carry it to the extreme, but already it seems to be that they want licensing tests to be pass-fail and people to be accepted to school without the so-called MCAT exam, kind of like the SATs Yep. for medical school, and just on an interview to show you're a good person and all this. But like you said, people want someone to be competent. You don't have to be Dr. Denton Cooley and the most famous surgeon in the world, but you look at somebody like Ben Carson, who clearly was a competent fellow.
He was a pediatric, wasn't he a pediatric surgeon?
Pediatric neurosurgeon.
Neurosurgeon.
And he did, we kind of crossed paths at Hopkins way back when.
But they ripped him apart. They turned him into some step and fetch it stooge.
But this is what happens, that it won't matter at some point how smart or how talented you really are. The perception is that you were just taken in because of, these new policies.
You mean, and because I'll tell new politics, you, everyone will assume even a brilliant man like him or like you was made a surgeon because of your skin color. That's what's coming.
The thing that's interesting is I actually had students, I went to law school later in life, and I had young students come up to me and say, thank goodness you're old enough that you went to school before affirmative action so people can know you're smart. I mean, I had students say that to me. Jeez. And these young kids, and I just tell them, believe me, I've been in class with you and I know you're smart. But they'll say, you know, but people look at me and think I'm an affirmative action baby, to coin a term by Stephen Carter. And what a thing to be a 21-year-old adult in professional school, in a good professional school, but never deep down inside thinking they're good enough.
Oh my God.
We'll be right back.
The Savage Nation. It's Savage on Demand.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
We're speaking with Dr. Marilyn Singleton on the Michael Savage Podcast. I know where this is coming from because I've studied Mao's revolution in China. This is Maoism, where after the People's Revolution, so-called, when he slaughtered 30 million or more people, and he turned society upside down in the vision of Marxism, which was Maoism under him, which was even a more brutal form of Marxism. They took the surgeons, I'll never forget reading about this, out of the surgical wards in the hospitals in China, and they said, you're a counter-revolutionary. And they put the surgeons in the laundry of the hospital to clean sheets and dirty things. And they took peasants from the fields who were in the hospitals in the laundry. And they said, sister, comrade, you are a doctor now. And they made them the doctors. That's what Mao Zedong did in that society. And Dr. Singleton, that's the genesis of what I see. This is not all innocent. There's some like minds behind all of this turmoil. You write in your article, a medical school group called White Coats for Black Lives is making the rounds of medical schools. And its stated goals are one, to quote, dismantle dominant exploitative systems in the United States, which are largely reliant on anti-black racism, colonialism, cis-heteropatriarchy, white supremacy, and capitalism, unquote. And two, to rebuild a healthy future for marginalized communities by abolishing prisons, establishing federal universal health care, ensuring reproductive and environmental justice, and, quote, queer and trans liberation. The people driving this are mentally ill, in my opinion, queer and trans people. They are the most violent, insane people in this whole movement, as I see it. Now, they want to throw me off the podcast for saying it. These are mentally ill, aggressive psychopaths driving this whole movement. I'm not even asking for your comment because I respect your professionalism. Don't say a word, please. Take my wife, please, said Henny Young.
Part of the problem that I see from a movement like this, and this is not a marginal movement, it's in schools like UC Davis, Stanford, Michigan, North Carolina, 70 major medical schools, and there aren't that many total medical schools in the country. And they're having the marches, and it's for social justice. And I think some of these people who are involved have been sucked in. They do not see the Marxist policies behind this. And again, since we don't have the huge class struggle like Marx had, you've got to find other marginalized people, you know, and put them out there. That's why all this focus on trans schmans, you know, there have been trans people for years, all the way back with Christine Jorgensen, and it was big news. And then, you know, it just sort of happened, and people were just sort of people. And guess what? Most people don't pay a bit of attention, and they certainly don't pay any attention to gay people anymore. Everybody knows somebody who's gay, and most gay people don't advertise and walk around like, oh, I'm gay. They just are.
I remember in the 50s, if men were gay, they were very sissified. They would do a woman monkey, you know, oh, darling, that kind of thing. That's how a person defined themselves as gay. And then that ended after the gay liberation was around for 30 years. If a man was gay, they never made a point of fairy-like behavior is over.
Right. And they're just regular people in society and do everything else that everybody else does. And suddenly pointing the finger and somehow putting this whole queer thing, which I find odd to even use the word queer, because
that was a put down. That was a put down when I was a kid.
Term.
You're a queer.
Yeah. And suddenly, you know, it's hip and all that. And so that's something over on this edge of trying to pull in the racism to that movement. And it's like the BLM people. That's one of the top things that was in their manifesto on the website before they kind of toned it down was queer stuff.
Dr. Singleton, they're being exposed for the criminals that they are. But BLM was founded by two, I must say, very militant lesbian black women who have bulldozed, bullied their way to the top, ripping off $80, $100 million. And now they're being investigated. Some are quitting and running away because they know the jail is coming. This can't go on much longer. This is like Al Capone in drag. You know, that's what this has come down to. So you say many of us want to improve health care for those who have poor access, black, white, and otherwise, but let's not sacrifice quality care for individual patients for broad political movement. Here's what I like when you write, after 2 years of manufactured fear and negativity and learned helplessness, courtesy of loudmouth ideologues fomenting unrest, we need a dose of reality. White people are not stamped with the mark of the devil. Every friendly gesture is not a feeble attempt at reparations. It's just a fellow human being, cheerful. Plenty of black and other persons of color have intelligence, strength, and ingenuity. We are able to do more than merely survive. As Ezra Pound said, a slave is one who waits for someone to come and free him. Don't wait for yourselves, you're right. When I remember, and I used to quote this all the time in the radio days, I think it was Orwell who wrote, those who scream the loudest about, he said, I can hear their chains rattling. I can hear their chains rattling. I forget the context. Those who scream all the time about freedom, 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 I want freedom. He said, I can hear their chains rattling, those pushing that leftist, you know, tripe.
Well,
I've,
you know,
I've read the history of communist China by women who survived the horrors of it. White Swan is a book I keep on my bookshelf. It's like 500 pages of the actual horrors of what went on, down to the smallest detail of coming into your house and looking at the artifacts or antiques or what you had in your house. And if they found anything that looked counter-revolutionary, they would either destroy it or have you arrested. So I collect antiques, Dr. Singleton, and two of the things I bought were smuggled out of China, I don't know when, but they're wooden food dogs. Everyone has seen the horror of food dogs. They used to be on the corners of the houses in China to scare off evil spirits. So these food dogs were considered counter-revolutionary bourgeois by the Maoists. And so the people hid them in jars in the ground and smuggled them out of China and then sold them on the antiques market, if you can believe this. That's how insane the communists became on the Mao, that they saw anti-communism in food dogs on the corners of your house. You know,
we're becoming that way now.
How?
I mean, look with the cancel culture and look at what they did to Dave Chappelle when he gave that his last Netflix thing and part of his dialogue or monologue was talking about trans people. Suddenly they said he was a hater. And here it turns out his dear friend was a trans person. You know, it's like people can't say anything. People can't have an open discussion with anybody. They're afraid that they're going to say the wrong word. When most people, they're just talking. They're just being themselves. And guess what? Everybody isn't a racist. And this is what is so disturbing to me, to tell people that just because of the color of their skin, they're a racist. What about the white people that helped on the Underground Railroad? And then on the other side, telling black people basically that they're morons and weak. Well, what about the black people who risked their lives and escaped? And you look at, you know, a real idol of mine, Frederick Douglass. Look what he did. Look at all the things and the ingenious things some of the slaves came up with to get out of their bad situation. So what they're doing now is a disservice to that memory of people who use their smarts and the worst of circumstances, couldn't read, couldn't write. And yet look what they did. They escaped and they became something. They did something with their lives and continued to do something. I grew up with a book written by Langston Hughes, and I don't remember the other author. It was called A Pictorial History of the Negro in America. The book opens where he says, Negroes in America can do anything that anyone else can do. They're doctors, lawyers, teachers, scientists, engineers. This is the opening of the book. You wouldn't think that we were in the same country to read what they open books with now. Oh, black people, they're so dumb, they're so bad, they're so weak, we need the government to make them better people. It's a whole different world, and it's stunning.
What year did you enter medical school, Dr. Singleton?
Do I have to tell? No. Just tell me I don't look a day over. I went to medical school in 1969.
Okay, but that was at the peak of another cultural revolution, one of the phases.
That's right.
I remember that I knew through a friend the children of a black surgeon somewhere in the neighborhood. He was a wealthy, established black surgeon. And they got into medical school using affirmative action. They laughed about it. They said, well, we'll take any advantage we can get. They didn't need it, but it pushed them up into better schools. You know, their grades were less than B plus. So they, with the B plus and the race card, they became A plus sort of.
Right.
They laughed about it. They said, well, we know it's wrong, but we'll use it to get where we want to go. All well and good up to a point till you get there on your, on the operating table and someone needs to put a catheter into your artery, which I had to have a couple of years ago. I mean, it was an Hispanic young man. I didn't care. He was a Harvard cum laude. I found that afterwards. I didn't know who he was. I was on fentanyl being wheeled into the room. I felt nothing. In fact, it was a nice moment for me. All I saw were the lights as they wheeled me in after the heart attack. But it turns out this kid who looked like an ordinary kid, looked like a kid to me, was summa cum laude out of Harvard Medical School. I'm glad he was very capable. But what if he wasn't? What if they pushed him into Harvard Medical School because of his race? What if they had done that? And as he was pushing that stent through my, from my wrist all the way through my body, all the way into my, wherever, my, thank God it wasn't the Widowmaker, but it was a miracle. You know, my poor dad didn't have these options when he had a heart attack in the 50s. They sent him home and said, don't use salt and put him in an oxygen tank. If you lived, you lived. That was about it. They knew nothing about diet. Nothing about anything other than, you know, maybe give up cigarettes or something. After in the 1930s, doctors said they smoke camels for their health or whatever the ads were. Remember those ads in the 30s?
Yes. About them? Yeah.
I smoke. They showed doctors in white coats. I smoke camels for my health or something. I don't know if it was Chesterfield. So we've come a long way, baby, haven't we, in medicine? Yes. Now we're going to suddenly go backwards and have wonderful surgeons put there and pushed out of the jobs because they're not the right race?
The Savage Nation. It's savage, uncut, unfiltered, and raw.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
You've just heard part one of this interview with Dr. Marilyn Singleton. And now I want to replay a piece from March of last year that relates to this interview specifically, where I talked about critical race theory and how it will lead us down a path to communism, socialism, or worse. I know many have now attacked CRT, and that is good. But you've got to understand, you heard it first right here on the Michael Savage Podcast. Let me begin with something that hits very close to people with children in school, especially people who are of the Caucasian race, who are being picked on, who are being shamed, who are being basically driven to suicide. Children will commit suicide unless these bastards are stopped. Mother sues school after her biracial son refused to confess his white dominance. The psychopaths who have taken over the school systems are targeting white children, and they're destroying their minds and their self-respect. If it was my kid, I'd do whatever's necessary, but I would not let my child be subjected to this trash, rubbish, racist garbage called critical race theory. There is no such thing as critical race theory. It was created by a psychopath who hates white people. This came in the post-millennial. A Las Vegas mother sued her biracial son's high school after he failed a critical race theory class for refusing to confess his white dominance. As a result of the failing grade, her son may not get the chance to graduate. The school is called Democracy Preparatory Academy in Las Vegas, Nevada. And they forced Gabriel Clark's son, William, to take a mandatory course entitled Sociology of Change. Are you listening? The boy, William, refused to label himself as privileged and an oppressor because he is mixed race. The website states this, quote, in the class, William, along with all the students, was asked to publicly reveal his race, gender, religious and sexual identities. Are you listening to this? This is child abuse. And then attach derogatory labels to those identities. Students would then ask to, quote, undo and unlearn their beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors that stem from oppression, unquote. Are you listening to this? William was understandably reluctant to label himself as privileged or an oppressor. The profile goes on to say, adding this, while William is the only student in the class who appears to be white, he has light skin and green eyes, he is in fact mixed race. His mother, Gabriel, filed a lawsuit against the so-called high school after they allegedly threatened to keep her son from graduating. According to the lawsuit, the parents are seeking monetary damages, including compensatory and punitive damages, for the damage done to William Clark's future academic and professional prospects, and for the defendant's deliberate and protracted harassment, emotional abuse, and violation of plaintiff's constitutional rights.
I was mostly outraged that this was being taught at all, but yeah. Principally that they were asking my son to reveal identities that are protected. You can't do that at a job. You shouldn't be able to do it at a school. It put a target on my son's back. If somebody didn't like what he had to say, then that would have put him in danger. And I think that was a grievous wrong. He was asked to answer the questions, and then the teacher would then scrutinize and label whether or not his particular identities were under the category of oppressor or privileged or oppressed. They sure. didn't just violate my son's civil rights. They violated all the children's civil rights by asking those questions.
I suggest that if you're listening to this podcast and your children are being subjected to this kind of child abuse and racism, you get a copy of that lawsuit and you sue your school. This has to stop. This is all going on because Biden has become the bully in chief, and they feel they can get away with any kind of racism against whites. So you could laugh at this and say it doesn't really affect you because it's just somebody else's child. You can put your head in the sand if you want. But I'm warning you, I see the truth and I don't wait.
Home of borders, language, culture, the Savage Nation.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
We embrace the vision of Martin Luther King, where children are not judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. The left is attempting to destroy that beautiful vision and divide Americans by race in the service of political power. By viewing every issue through the lens of race, they want to impose a new segregation, and we must not allow that to happen. Critical race theory, the 1619 Project, and the crusade against American history is toxic propaganda, ideological poison that, if not removed, will dissolve the civic bonds that tie us together, will destroy our country. That is why I recently banned trainings in this prejudiced ideology from the federal government and banned it in the strongest manner possible.
Well, that's about critical race theory. Now, where did this come from? Why are we hearing about it now under Biden? It's been around for a while, this garbage. Well, it ties into the big lie about America owes African Americans or black people reparations. It's all part and parcel of the same diseased thinking. But there's a thorny issue connected to both of these subjects. Did you know that during slavery, some free black people purchased other black people as a means to free family members? That's terrible. And let me be very clear. Slavery is horrible. It's the worst thing you can do to a person. It's raping and taking away their dignity and their humanity. But did you know that other blacks owned slaves for the reason that whites own slaves to work on their farms or their plantations. Did you know that there were black people who owned farms and plantations who purchased black slaves? Now, are descendants of these slaveholding black people eligible for and should they receive reparations? You better think about this very carefully. And by the way, if you're going to talk about slavery, which we're going to do in the next podcast, and slavery and reparations, incidentally, there are more slaves today than at any time in history. It's illegal, and it's called by different names, but slavery exists today in India, Pakistan, Nepal, Bhutan, Southeast Asia, Romania, Sudan, Haiti, Brazil, Latin America, etc. There are more slaves today than at any point in human history. It was reported in Time magazine on January 18, 2010, as follows. Despite more than a dozen international conventions banning slavery in the past 150 years, there are more slaves today than at any point in human history, unquote. Let's go back to ancient times. Ancient cultures made slaves of those captured during wars in Egypt, Babylon, Persia, Greece, China, India, Africa, and Rome. Julius Caesar conquered Gaul, and he brought back so many Slavic peoples, so-called. Slavic peoples means slave peoples, back into Rome, that the term Slav took the connotation of permanent servant or slave. Did you know that over half of Rome's population were slaves? So be very careful with this reparations business, which we'll talk about on the next podcast, because it's far more complicated than the left-wing communists and their goon squads would have you believe. There are many thorny issues connected to this. But today let's talk about the tragedy of critical race theory, which is an attempt to deny the racial identity of white children in the United States of America today. It's a form of slavery that they're trying to produce right here in America. First, stripping away the dignity of a person because of their race, and then, on top of it all, making them apologize for being born white. Do you have any idea where this happened before? Well, you may not know it, but it happened in Nazi Germany. That's right. The Black Lives Matter and communists in America who are pushing critical race theory today are using a form of psychological warfare that was used by Hitler and his minions in Germany. In the early days of Hitler's reign in Germany, when Jews were still permitted to go to mixed schools, meaning schools where Germans went, they were forced to sit through race classes. Did you know this? Race consciousness classes in German, where they were told that the Jews were inferior, meaning there any Jew in the class was forced to get up and say he was an inferior person and guilty of crimes he had not committed. It's disgusting, right? And you let your children sit through that here in America? Shame on you. I wouldn't. I'd sue the school faster than you could say Jesse Jackson. My friends, we're living through very dangerous times. And while we are talking about so-called critical race theory, never forget what it really is. It's a form of indoctrination that strips your children of their dignity, makes them ashamed of their race, and then tries to break them and force them to apologize for having been born. Is this what you consider to be American? I hope not, because if you do, you know better than those conducting these racial hate seminars on your children.
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
You think it can't happen here? A communist revolution cannot happen here. It has happened here. No, they've not yet rounded up people and killed them, as all successful left-wing revolutions all do. Even then, it won't be a laughing matter, would it? You say it can't happen here. You have violent radicals, communists, burning down buildings in American cities. Even the other day in Portland, Oregon, you have liberal governors and mayors telling police to stand down while at the same time signing stricter and stricter gun control measures. Small businesses are being destroyed. Their market share effectively handed to multinational corporations that now openly endorse radical communist hate groups like Black Lives Matter. Big tech is erasing your presence online, which is the primary conduit for conversation in 21st century America. Big tech is erasing that conversation if they don't agree with it. Four men erasing your conversation. Disarmed, impoverished, and defenseless. It is but a small step for them to demand obedience to their every dictate or make you disappear completely, either literally or figuratively. It is happening here. And it is not beginning in schools, but it is happening in schools. Now, what I'd like to do for you is give you a note of hope before you turn this podcast off. Where is there any hope of people willing to stand up to these Black Lives Matter brainwashing thugs and the left-wing brainwashing thugs? Strangely enough, it's coming from Asian Americans who are emerging as a strong voice against critical race theory. Right. You didn't know that. Who are they? Who are the Asians standing up to these communists? One group is called the Chinese American Citizens Alliance of Greater New York, which has delivered the most vigorous rejection of race theory yet. What did they call it? They called it a hateful, divisive, manipulative fraud. Now, this group is one of the oldest chapters of the Chinese American Citizens Alliance. It was founded in San Francisco in 1895 to respond to nationwide discrimination and violence against Chinese Americans. My friends, think about this. Who are these people? Here's an Asian group, a Chinese American Asian group, standing up to the communists. And they're seeing what this is. They've been experiencing firsthand the hatred and prejudice of the communist left here in America. I know it's counterintuitive because you think Chinese communism, but that's like saying all Chinese are communists. The opposite is true in America. In America, Chinese Americans and all Asian Americans by and large, most Asian Americans by and large, believe in education, stable marriages, delayed gratification, hard work, and meritocracy. These are all called white values by the morons who run Black Lives Matter. They are the street thugs. Black Lives Matter is nothing but thuggery, criminality, in my opinion. Do you know that critical race theory attacks all of these as white values and the people who practice them as acting white? Can you believe how sick they are? Asian Americans know the opposite. And they're resisting these critical race theory narratives. And by the way, activists in CRT have tried to throw out Asian Americans from the people of color category. I know you're gagging on this. They said Asian Americans are not students of color because they just don't fit in. Now, even as victims of hate crimes, Asian Americans discredit CRT's assertion that racial prejudice only goes one way, from white people to people of color. We have seen hate crimes against Asian Americans on the rise in this nation. Every news story tells you about hate crimes against Asian Americans, but they don't show you who's doing it. They would like you to believe it's white supremacists knocking old Asians to the ground. Well, who's actually doing it? In Oakland's Chinatown, a 28-year-old named Yaha Muslim, he shoved a 91-year-old Asian man to the pavement from behind and attacked two other Asian seniors. Yaha Muslim is not a white supremacist. Also in Oakland in broad daylight, two young men, not white supremacists, attacked a 71-year-old Asian woman by knocking her to the ground before yanking a purse so hard the strap breaks off. Was it a white supremacist who did that? No. You'll never see pictures of those doing it. Critical race theory activists blame white nationalism for these hate crimes. But all perpetrators in these cases were non-Asian minorities. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It gets even worse. Communist agitators in critical race theory claim that teaching math and science perpetuates white privilege. I'm not making this stuff up. It's crazy. Math and science perpetuates white privilege. apparently the people in critical race theory are stupid and they can't do math and science. In an elementary school in Cupertino, California, where 94% of the students are not white, a math teacher told third graders in a math class that they live in a white-dominated culture and had them rank themselves according to their privilege on an identity map. Who stood up to them? Not you. Chinese parents organized a protest, and they demanded the school stop teaching racism to their children and start teaching math instead. You hear this? It goes on, and I don't want to bore you with any more of this, because what's happening here is right out of Hitler's Germany. The only difference is in Hitler's Germany, it was the Jews who were targeted initially. The Jews who were put into special training classes on race. You don't know this. In the early days of Hitler, the Jewish children who were still allowed to go to German schools had to listen to race theory in the schools. Did you get a chill up your spine yet of the wrong kind? Listen to me, my friends. This is getting very bad. It's getting very bad, and it's going to get much, much worse. Now, I know this is depressing and you don't want to hear it, and you want to hear me make sarcastic comments about liberals and laugh your way through the day, and I don't blame you. So let's do a little bit of that. Let's look at some of the news out there that may or may not be related to critical race theory, which is communism. Consider this like an audio news break. It begins. Black Americans who shook down reparations and are getting $10 million in reparations from the city that they sued. Each black American, even though they weren't victims of any crime, are going to get $25,000 each as part of a $10 million settlement for reparations. And guess what the African Americans or black Americans said? It's not enough. Are you listening? This is in Evanston, Illinois. Black Americans who will be given $25,000 each as part of the city's $10 million reparations program say it's not enough. Payout supposed to make amends for the racist housing policies in the city north of downtown Chicago. But activists say it's not enough. Evanston, Illinois is the first U.S. city to distribute money meant to help compensate for a lack of generational wealth and systemic racism, whatever that means. Reverend Michael Nabors, who is the president of the Evanston NAACP, thinks $25,000 per person is a drop in the bucket. Are you listening to this? Are you listening to me? How much could you do with $25,000? Do you understand what a racket is? Do you understand how Al Capone ran a protection racket? Where'd this money come from? The $10 million handout was raised from a 3% tax on the sale of recreational marijuana as it tries to address inequity in housing. The first phase gives $400,000 towards $25,000 grants to eligible recipients. What do you think they're going to do with the money? We'll have to wait and see. Now, to qualify for this shakedown, residents must have lived in Evanston between the years 1919 and 1969, where they were discriminated against in terms of housing. But wait, there's a catch. Residents of this handout are also eligible if they're a direct descendant of someone who suffered housing discrimination. You get the picture. No matter what you give these shakedown artists, they're going to say it's not enough. Well, thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it and learned something from it. We have about 400 other episodes available for you to listen to absolutely free. You can go back into our vast library of podcasts and listen to any one of them at any time. And remember this, if you want to listen to my podcast ad-free, sign up for the Savage Premium Membership and get access to ad-free podcasts as well as some premium content from our Savage Archives. How do you sign up for those ad-free podcasts? Please visit michaelsavage.com for a link. Again, thank you for your listenership. This is Michael Savage.